How's it going, everyone? These episodes are actually pre-recorded, so if you want to check out the full episode raw, just go on youtube.com/superpugproductions. You'll catch the live stream of the podcast. You can join the chat, and yeah, so enjoy this episode, and yeah. All right, everybody, we're not live. What's good? Two viewers, it's all good. People are going to come in later on, but what's good, everybody? It's your favorite lesbian with your favorite podcast and shit.
The most swole
lesbian in AZ.
Hey, this literally, by the way, this neighborhood is where I would expect the most swole lesbian. Like, I feel like there's at least what two or three fuck? More swole lesbians in here.
Like a couple doors down, there's like, actually like the last house over here in the row, they smoke hella pot, bro. Every time I walk by that shit, it's like, it's just loud as fuck. Some lesbians in there. I live right next to my old manager that I used to work with at a restaurant. What? And he's always hitting me up like, hey, bro, so, like, when you come back? I'm like, bro, I got a 9-to-5. I'm good now. Like, I'm good. I'm set. Right? I'm fine. But, yeah. It's gotta be an awkward little relationship. It is, because, like, I was about to walk out. Like, I was about to be like, fuck you guys. I'm out. Like, you know, I was about to do that shit, but, like, I didn't because, like, the day. So, here's what happened. Like, I was about to, the time I moved out here.
You got a lot of integrity, huh?
Yeah. So, like, pretty much, I was just, like, the day I moved out here, a couple days later, I found out he's my neighbor. And, like, we're both walking our dogs. And I'm like, Brandon? He's like, oh, how you doing, bro? What are you doing here? I'm like, oh, I live right there. And he's like, oh, you're my neighbor. I'm like, yep, you're your neighbor, bro. Fuck. Like, yeah, I was like, shit.
Can't tell you off one of these days. That's never going to happen.
I know. But
fuck. Yeah, no. Happened.
What's good, Magic Ninja?
Oh, Magic. What's up, man?
All right. But, yeah, guys, this is my guest right here, Maddie Dubs, Maddie420 Dubs. You see it. Follow him on Instagram. Links in the description below for that. He also has his music video. It kind of released, like, how long ago was that music video now? It's been a few months.
It's been, like, 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks.
Really? It's been 2 weeks? It feels like it's been a month, bro, or something. Damn.
Maybe a month. Honestly, I couldn't even tell you. Like, I just got them and kind of just dropped them as soon as I got them.
Bet.
I'll be honest with you.
For sure, for sure. But, yeah, check out that music video. You might see a familiar face in there. He also performed at AZ Hip Hop Festival.
Yes,
And that's it. What's good,
just
man?
Just dropped the album in November, too, bro. We got another one coming.
We got another one coming. I was actually listening to that shit today, like, back-to-back right now.
Like, man, the next one is going to be wild.
Really?
A lot of people that, like, if you know, like, the Kush America podcast, mm-hmm. Which people have seen you on multiple times, it's pretty much just going to be Kush America producers on the album.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah, a lot of Sauce on the beat, a lot of... Astro, a little bit of Magic on there. No, it's gonna be fire.
Is that where you find most of them now?
That's honestly, yeah, man. Like, I know Fahad from work, like my first job out of college. We worked together. And so I was just like, oh, you gotta listen to this track that I just made. Like, I think you'll like it. And he's like, you should just submit it to my podcast. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know the motherfucker was on YouTube doing anything. Yeah. I thought he was just taking pictures of cars, being gay and shit. And no, come to find out he's on this podcast. I submit it. It's the night him and Grip are super fucking drunk.
Yeah.
And from then on, I just kept submitting and kept submitting and more producers, and I would just link through that fucking stream.
That's
and it's
pretty
just
dope.
Like, everybody's just dropping music.
Yeah.
And there's so much talent in that stream that nobody knows about.
I know. That's a cool thing. It's like it's another like a little hidden gem going on. Like, oh, shit, no one knows about this. I can take a beat. Because I hear like a lot of other rappers, they take beats from like, you can just type in like, oh, free lo-fi beat. Free Tyga type beat. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I've heard this shit before. You know?
Yeah, like a free beat is cool, but it's like these cats are like so consistent with their work and their craft that like, you see the growth even through the streams.
Yeah.
And then, like, because everybody's a regular and dropping shit, it's just like, fuck, people hear your shit all the time, and you hear their shit all the time, and it's just like, it just makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, there becomes that, like, mutual connection, and it's crazy to do that through, like, a podcast.
Yeah.
Like, a stream chat. Yeah. Like, literally, you have no connection to the other person, and you have no part in what's going on YouTube, and it's just like, bam.
I always tell my producer friends, like, yo, go send, or not even just producer friend, like any person who makes me, like, yo, go send me your music. If you want, like, I'll give you a good opinion, like, oh yeah, I'll let you know like how I feel about it. But if you want like someone like honest about it and good criticism too, like I feel like Greg and them are like unbiased as fuck.
Yeah, they are, and it's there's so many places that you can go even on just Facebook to find that too. And it's not only a way of you gauging people's reactions to it, but like if your shit is fire, there's 40 to 100 people watching it at a time. Like, it's 40 to 100 listeners that you didn't have.
Yeah.
How many of those people are going to be willing to just type your shit in because they're like, wait, I really fuck with this.
Yeah.
This is really dope. Mm-hmm. Like Brandon of Japan.
Yeah, bro, Brandon of Japan.
Like,
he's a homie.
I'll be honest. Like, I can't fuck with everything he does. But, like, every time I hear something from this kid, it's just like, let me go look at his Instagram. Hold on. There's
Astral Beats is here.
Oh, Greg's Astral, here. What's good, what's bro? Good? What's good?
But yeah, we're literally talking about your guys' stuff right now.
Yeah, no, it's just like
it's just another way to start growing each other.
Yeah, it's building almost a family. Like what they've done with their review show is almost built like a family.
Yeah,
because. I mean, you were obviously you did their stream at the show.
Yeah, and I go in here and there, too. Like, I miss some of them, but that's because, like, oh, shit, I got something planned. But either way, like, I go in, I'm like, oh, hey, you know, like, your shit was good. Or, like, Greg will say shit like, oh, your stuff was good back then. This kind of disappointed me. Like, that shit's like that. Or, like, oh, that's honest opinion. Or and then, like, then they come back, make a better song. Like, oh, never mind, this shit's better now.
It's a whole new way to get feedback on your shit. And then you get to read all the mean YouTube comments sometimes. They don't have that in theirs, but like, cause it's a Christian server.
It's a Christian show.
But, no, like when you get to actually read people's reactions, like if somebody says this shit is trash, like I don't take it to heart.
Yeah.
But like, I'll listen a little bit more. Like I'll actually reach out to somebody who said my shit is trash and be like, what do you think was trash about it? Be honest. Like, tell me. Oh, I don't like your flow. I don't like your voice. And it's like, well, I'm not changing that. Yeah. So fuck you. Have a nice day. And I mean, just I feel like the whole review process period is just it's changing the music game.
For sure, yeah, it is. For you, like, do you see like the difference between like how Grip does and how your music getting out there between like here and AZ? Like, cause a lot of AZ rappers just like, hey, go out, like, hey, this is my music. Here's my mixtape. Follow me on Instagram.
Honestly, I'm not that type of artist. Yeah. And I should be. I really should like. Get more into like just being open and just handing my shit out. I'm just not that personality.
I think that's okay though.
Yeah, and I think AZ lends itself to that too. Like, and I mean the internet does too.
Yeah,
but I mean AZ is just a different scene.
Yeah,
like it's not like any other scene in the country right now. Because it's the only place where there are dope artists, but the fucking city doesn't support them.
Yeah, it's
what like this is the most ass backwards fucking shit I've ever seen in my fucking life.
Yeah, real talk, smash that motherfucking like button. All right, starting to break out of my shell, show my work to reach out. That's good, bro. That's good to hear. But no, well, like yeah, here in AZ, because I would see people like Saya, Pete, Bungus, and like I can imagine their music, or even your music too. Like I can imagine your music being played at huge ass crowds. Like this shit would be perfect for like big ass mosh pits. And I'm just like. Why aren't they getting the platform they deserve, you know? It's like...
Well, we know why.
Yeah.
I mean, you know why that they don't want to put people on. It's because we don't have money.
Yeah, that too.
That's all it is. It's like Arizona is number one a commuter state. That's, well, what it was a couple years ago. It was a commuter state. Nobody here had the means. Nobody here had a following because nobody was really fucking from here that was making good music.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing you knew about Arizona was Jordan Sparks and Willie Northpole.
Yeah.
And now it's like there's a scene growing... And it's like, which direction is this scene going to go? Like, because eventually these artists are going to get a lot of love here. But to really blow the city up, somebody's got to go. Like, somebody's really got to go.
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen if the city doesn't support them. And if the biggest radio station in our fucking city doesn't support our biggest artist.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you on the radio for?
Exactly. Yeah.
Isn't that what the radio was made for back in the day? Was like to hear local people talking about local shit too.
Yeah.
And like,
I hear that a lot, but the whole like 98.3 shit. And it's like, that's like the dumbest shit ever. Like, if it was made for like the local people and then they say some shit like we don't need local artists, fuck them. Then like, all right, then you might as well just be on Spotify and we can just live on popular music on there, you know?
Exactly. Like if you look at New York, one of the reasons I feel like New York's music scene was so fucking crazy with hip hop back in the day was because, I mean, yeah, they were the ones that kind of like invented it, but the radio stations put all the young artists on, like they gave venues and avenues and like they're doing it now. They're giving avenues for these kids to fucking showcase themselves.
Yeah.
There's so many different opportunities. We just don't have that out here.
Yeah.
Like, you put the money together and throw your own show, or you're doing pay for play.
Yeah, that too. Was it people do what was it like respect the underground a lot?
Yeah, yeah. And like I've done a lot of respect the underground mm-hmm. stuff just because I want to get out there and perform. Mm-hmm. But like,
how did it work out for you?
Not well, bro. Honestly, I hear that. Yeah, like, I hear that a lot. It just doesn't work out that yeah. well. Like you're really paying them to bring your crowd to their mm-hmm. show, mm-hmm. and if and you're they're relying solely on you to mm-hmm. sell tickets. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the crowd, oh well, we got your money anyway. Mm-hmm. Like all I had to do was set this stage up.
Yeah.
And the five of us can do that, or the three of us could do that in like what, 3 hours?
Yeah.
We could set a stage up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and
do some shit like trunk space yeah. and shit like that. Yeah. No, yeah, I get you, because my homeboy Ryan, he always struggles with tickets too. Like, he's always like able. Like even I'm like, I can't make it to your show. One, because one like it's planning, or one, I don't have the money either.
Yeah.
Like I can't make it either. So it's just like stuff like that where I'm like, yeah, this doesn't really help the artist either.
Yeah,
so
and who's like promoting us? Like
exactly,
it's cool to put it like on mm-hmm. on a story and stuff. Like yeah. that's cool,
mm-hmm.
but like make it an audition process.
Mm-hmm.
Like really throw this thing and put your own money behind it,
mm-hmm.
and do it for the artists.
Yeah,
don't do it for the clout. For
yeah,
like not saying Respect the Underground does that, but like mm-hmm. it feels like that. Mm-hmm. Like don't do it for the clout of yourself. Like yeah. to blow your own brand up. Like
mm-hmm.
your brand is supposed to be to promote
yeah.
our brand.
For sure.
That's what we gave you this money for.
Yeah.
And there's only so many people here because we're the only ones selling the tickets.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, I get it.
Mm.
Build your fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Do that shit or just show up and steal everybody else's fans, but nobody's paying attention.
Yeah.
At the shows. You're there to see who you're there to see. I mean, you can attest to that. Every one of my shows, the people that are there to see, like when you come to see me, you watch what I do and you're not paying attention to anybody else, are you?
No, I believe.
Exactly, like it's just honesty. That's just what these shows are.
Yeah,
because
I mean, it may be people here and there that catch your attention, but that's it.
Yeah, and it's usually for like a half a minute or a minute, and then you're off on your own
like
other
the,
thing.
AZ Hip Hop Festival, like those, like the group of black kids that got on after you.
Yeah,
they like I paid attention to them for like 5 minutes, but then that was it.
Yeah, and it's just I mean. Because we don't know anybody.
Exactly, yeah.
And nobody's given anybody light.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be honest, I think one of the two dope, the three dopest artists that I know in the state right now, and whose music I listen to, like, I really fuck with Pariah Pete.
Yeah.
King Emmett has crazy bars.
Yeah,
and
he
then,
does.
Like, Mastodon Rare.
Yep.
Like, those to me are three of the craziest artists in this state, and, like, no one really knows them other than like the people they've built a following from.
Yeah.
And it just, or at least that's the way I see it. Like we're at Trunk Space. I felt like that shit should have been jam packed.
Yeah.
Like I felt like it was loaded in there. It was a lit environment.
And what's crazy is that like stuff like Trunk Space or Peach Show, like Lunchbox, for some reason he got like a smaller venue or something like that.
Smart though.
Yeah,
it's
it was
a smart move because then it's more intimate.
Exactly.
And that's what his music is.
And then I think that's what I really liked about Trunk Space and Peach Show was like the intimacy that we all had. Like, bro, like we're all just there together. Like these people were like fucking strangers to me, but I was like, yo, we're hugging and we're all like saying like, hey, we're all just moshing the crowd together.
Yeah. And that, like, that's what I'm saying. It was packed the right way with like real support.
Yeah.
Nobody left after an artist got off stage
mm-hmm.
except if they were going to go drink or smoke, and you couldn't do that in the church.
Yeah.
Christian network.
Christian. No.
But like, that show is like, that's to me what hip hop is.
Yeah.
That's hip hop right there. Mm-hmm. Like the way they pulled that show off. Not this pay for play bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Like
in a club.
Yeah. If you want to do pay for play, draw a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
But you better help draw that fucking crowd.
For sure.
And help keep that crowd involved.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why am I going to give you my money?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Like, I get it's my job as the artist to do this, but, like, it's only my job when you're going to pay me for it. At the end of the day, I'm paying you.
Yeah. Have you ever paid promo or anything like that? Or have you got hit up with that shit?
Yeah, I have gotten hit up, but I just won't do it.
Same here.
I just won't. If it's not going to come organically, it's not what I want.
Exactly.
I don't want to talk. Like, I don't want to. I don't want fake followers.
Let's talk about Scrappy using steroids, bro. Stop. We'll talk about it in a minute.
Hey, but I swear to God, this man is swole as fuck. He doesn't even fit in his own clothes anymore.
Loki, yeah, this. Well, we went shopping for like new clothes and shit. I usually get small, and I'm like, this time I'm wearing a medium. I'm like, yep, this ain't even it, chief.
Too much ground chicken and ground turkey.
Yeah, bro, I've been like cooking and shit, eating a lot of beef, even a lot of like rice and shit, bro.
He's got a lot of avocados in his kitchen.
Exactly.
Like a real lesbian.
Yeah. Like a real ass Mexican. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No, no. I meant like a real lesbian, but that too.
No, Gribble was saying some shit though. No, he was like saying Maddie decided to go full Bernie tonight. Scrappy hit live. Now he turned down the establishment. Facts.
Wait, Matt went what?
Maddie hit when decided to go full Bernie tonight.
Oh God, no! I mean, I didn't.
Outside looking at the RTU, looks like a hustle.
You know, Grip, like it does. Like outside looking in, it really does. Like they're really good dudes, but on the outside looking in, it just feels like they're people are taking your money and running.
Yeah,
and like AZ Hip Hop Festival wasn't cheap.
Mm-hmm. It was like 500, right? Something like that.
I think it was like 5 or 6. They wanted to charge me a rack.
What?
To go on at 6:45 on their main stage. A fucking rack.
Nah, son. Even then, bro, they kept fucking up too because they kept delaying a lot of artists.
I don't know. My set got like moved to a different time slot. Like, I was cool with it. Like, it turned out and worked out great. You know, I felt good about the performance, but I think I expected different from like the main stage because it was just, it was like in an alley, like, but again, I was relying on them to draw a crowd too.
Yeah.
And
hopefully that you would get noticed from new people, new faces.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, people are there to see who they're there to see.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then dudes like Desert Baby and Pariah Pete come out and they rock out their fucking sets because they have a little bit of a following of their own already that wanted to be there for them. And it's not like promoters are bringing these guys fucking views.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't, like, because I don't want to come off as being disrespectful.
Yeah, of course.
I'm being disrespectful as fuck right now, and I don't mean to be that.
No, I mean, where you're coming is like, it's like definitely frustrating because you're doing your best and you're hoping that people bring you something
to. Like, I'm leaving my all on that fucking stage, and I know I'm tearing my set up. Like, but it's just, and I don't, and maybe it's my music. I don't, that's the thing that you start questioning is like, you know, you kill your set, and you know, like,
people fuck with your music.
Yeah, and it's like, you hear it all the time, like, oh, I fuck with your shit, I fuck with your shit, oh, you killed your set, and then it's like, but nobody's here.
Yeah.
Nobody's really paying attention. The people that are throwing this shit, I paid for your main stage, y'all aren't even here.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make me feel like I'm wanted to even give you my money. Like, you just, like, you're not paying any attention. Like, you hit me up and talk to me when you need, like, when you want to change something, like, we're best friends.
Yeah.
And then when I come approach you and like, hey, appreciate the opportunity tonight, it's like, oh, you're welcome, and then just keep walking on, and it's like,
yeah. It's hella fake. It's hella, like,
yeah, it just doesn't feel right.
It's like, you, I don't know. It's like, you got your shit and now you're just leaving, you know? AZ got to step it up, facts. But I think it's like in this, the new wave now, or the new move that people are doing their own shows, like how everyone did their Trunk Space shit.
Yeah, like the, I'm telling you, man, that Trunk Space shit was just, that was hip hop.
Yeah.
That was hip hop. Yeah. Like, from where I'm from and having been to hip hop shows back home, like, that's hip-hop.
Where are you from?
I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. So, like, I've been to, like, small little venues and concerts, and, like, that's the shit I'm talking about. Even for, like, a rock show.
Yeah.
That's the type of shit you want. You want, like, 30 to 40 people in the crowd that really fuck with your music.
Yeah.
So when you start getting lit, they start getting lit.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, fuck. Like, every time I perform, this motherfucker's acting like like Kanye West is on stage.
Yeah.
And it's fucking hype this shit. But then everybody around, I'm looking at, like, all my friends are getting turned up. But, like, nobody that knows my music feels the same way because they don't know the vibe yet.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, it's just, I don't know, bro. I don't know. I don't know, man. That vibe was just perfect. That vibe was absolutely perfect. Like, Trunk Space was perfect. I saw the videos and, like, people's stories from Pariah shit and that.
He just uploaded the full video, the full set video.
Like, it looked right.
Yeah.
It just looked right. Like, that's the way we have to do it. We don't need the marquee.
Yeah.
At some point. But we, like, artists don't need the marquee. They need the small little dive bar venue that they can sell out and, like, fire marshal fucking terrorize and just make it a real fucking night.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody gets punched in the face, that's a hip-hop show. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, if everybody's so close, somebody gets punched in the face, that's hip-hop. Like, It's just like, to me, it was a great night. Like, I was so, I felt like I was back in my element when I was there.
Yeah.
And it inspired me to go make more music. Like,
that's how I feel about Pete's show, too. Cause, like, I'm gonna be open with music now. But yeah, like, I'm starting to get back to making music, too. Start work, like, Food City Gang. That's, like, my whole joke mixtape thing. But even then, like, I'm gonna try and make serious music. But me and my friend, we went, like, the day after, we're like, dude, that show was fucking amazing. He's like, yo, can I come over? And, like, why? He's like, I just wanna make music. Cause we use this room as, like, a little studio. And he's like, yeah, bro, I just want to, like, just get some beats out. Let's write some rhymes. And I'm like, fuck it, dude. And I'm at my desk. I wear, like, I'm writing out rhymes and shit like that, too. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm doing work. And
yeah.
I'm not really. But still, like, it's just, like, that shit. Music like that, Trunk Space, I totally get it. Like, it inspires you to make you do more. And I'm just like, you know, it's just good to feel that way.
Yeah, it's just because, like, I think when you know you're at something, like, you know when you're somewhere real. You know what I mean? Like, all the vibes are real. The people that are on stage and performing are real as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, and you feel like you know these people because they interact with the crowd the way that, like, they would because with their friends.
Mm.
Like, it just felt like a family party.
Yeah.
When I walked in there. You know, Fanny sitting at the fucking, at the front door selling merch, trying to figure out how to work the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you and Fahad are in the corner. You see you two with all the lights on yourselves, like, doing, like, Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler side-by-side commentary.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, it was a dope-ass vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to see. Like, that's what a show should be.
Yeah.
It's, like, when you walk in, it's immediately turned up.
Yeah. And not even that, like, the whole promotion thing, because I didn't listen to Eloy's music until Trunk Space. I didn't listen
Same here.
Yeah, I didn't listen.
Same here.
Oh, no, I did listen to EK. Eloy, who else was on there?
Can I be honest with
you? What's up?
I know EK can rap because I've heard a few of his tracks. Yeah. I've never actually really had an MP3 version of any of EK songs.
Really?
Not a single one. Until I saw that video for Danger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had never seen him post anything about it.
Yeah.
Until he had the video out, I'd never seen it. I was like, when they invited me, like, when I watched the stream, I thought it was just Fahad and Grip.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I was like, oh, there's another dude.
Yeah.
Oh, and he rapped. Oh, this is interesting. Let's go back and look at some of their stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And then you obviously fall down the rabbit hole. But, like, it's, I don't know. The vibe out here could change real quick.
Yeah.
It could change real quick.
Yeah.
They got the right energy and the right artists.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody shows everybody a lot of love and respect. Mm-hmm. There's no beef between artists out here. Mm-hmm. At least it doesn't feel like it.
Or at least we don't know of either.
Yeah, and it's just like, because there's no reason to.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason in Arizona to have beef.
Exactly. Like, no one's trying to trip over. There's no reason to trip over each other anyways. Like, we're all just like, we're trying to make it. Like, I'm not being, you know, a dick to anyone either.
No.
I
want to see everybody succeed.
Yeah.
And, like, every one of you guys that has one of these shows, like, gives artists in this city an opportunity that other people aren't.
Yeah.
And it's fucking crazy.
So people who are watching, though, we really appreciate you. Not just me, absolutely, but also him. Like, we just appreciate you supporting our shit.
That's it means the world. Like,
bro, I sold
any listeners.
Fanny sold hella shirts. You guys are awesome. Fanny always holding it down. Family, bro. Facts. That's what it is. That's how the whole thing is, bro.
Yeah.
But I do have questions for you, bro, because this is an interview.
Yes. No, let's get to it. Let's get to it.
So first off, why Maddie Dubs? Is, you know, it's, of course it's marijuana, but, like, you know,
my last name is Walder,
mm-hmm,
so W, Dubs.
Ah, okay.
Dub for winning.
For sure.
Dub for the 20 sack.
Mm-hmm.
Just Dubs all around.
Dubs. Yeah, it's dubs. All about it's
Your
all
life
about
is all
dub.
About Dubs.
Yeah.
Support is free. Facts.
Truthfully, I went through so many shitty fucking rap names.
Yeah?
Before I got to Matty Dubs.
Yeah.
Like, people just started calling me Dubs randomly.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who it was, but somebody called me Matty Dubs, and I was like,
That's the name?
That's the name.
Yeah.
That's the new rap name. I was like, that's what you will all address me
that's
as from here on out. And I, man, if I went through the list of fucking
I mean, you got time. You can tell some of them.
So the first one I ever had, this is embarrassing, 16 or 17 years old, Sun Devil.
Sun Devil? It's not bad.
Well, because there's not going to be another 100,000 students at ASU when I get there that are Sun Devils.
Oh,
like,
true.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Like, shit, I think I had one. It was Young Doogie Howser.
Young Doogie Howser.
Like, Doogie Howser wasn't already young, and I'm older than he was.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, doesn't make any sense.
Huh.
And there were some bad fucking names. Like, I don't even think Matty Dubs is the best I could do, but it works.
It works, yeah.
It fits.
Yeah.
It lasted, like, we'll stick with it.
Yeah, because I thought it was just like about marijuana.
I mean, it's got a lot to do with marijuana.
But that's another question I have. Like, was marijuana have like an impact on you? Do you just smoke all the time? Do you just like to use it because you're as creativity? Is that like your thing that helps you?
Well, no, man, I've been smoking since I was the first time I smoked was when I was 13. Mm-hmm. And I'd say I probably really became a pothead at like 16, 17.
Yeah.
And it's been really like just every day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something I love. Like it relaxes me. It focuses me. It keeps me in a good frame of mind, helps me eat. Makes me feel better. Like, I suffer from rheumatoid arthritis, fibromyalgia, and a blood clot disorder. So that shit helps me every single day.
Yeah,
I use it medically. But it's just like, I mean, why don't people love this shit?
Yeah,
like,
it's great. Well, it's just fucking boomers, you know.
Yeah,
old white people be like, this shit's bad, you know.
Yeah, it's just, well, they don't know any better.
Yeah.
But no, marijuana has a huge, like, plays a huge part of my life. It's how I met some of my best friends. And that makes it a gateway drug. it's a gateway. No, it's, I don't know. I just love marijuana, man. Everything about it, the smell, the taste.
Is the picture vibes. Frozen or is it just me? Yo, it might be frozen. It might be frozen, bro. Hold the fuck up. We might have to restart this shit. Not entirely, but
DJ, is that what I did?
Yeah, it was Maddie was an EDM DJ. He'd be called Maddie Wubbs. There we go. There we go. Now we're back. We're back, everybody. All right, no freezing. All right. But yeah, it's had a big impact on your life.
Yeah. No, I mean like it. I don't know. It's just it's something that I've always liked. I just like everything about it.
I mean, if it's a positive impact, then whatever, you know? Like,
I mean, it's not always a positive. It doesn't always have a positive impact.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a lot of shit I've blown off that I probably shouldn't have blown off because I smoked weed. But, I mean, I missed countless classes in college because I was just busy smoking pot. I was too busy rolling blunts to get to class. I'm sorry, professor. No, it was... It's just everything that it's ever... Every time... Anything's ever changed or something's been bad or something's been really good. The only consistent thing there has been marijuana.
Yeah.
It's always been there. It'll always be there. That's my ride or die bitch.
That's what's up. Yeah. That's what's up then. So is that also like one of your big inspirations too? Just marijuana? Like, is that
to make like in my music?
Yeah. In your music.
I would say it's a bit of an inspiration. I mean, I grew up listening to a lot of Wu-Tang Clan. And I feel like a lot of their music is heavily saturated with marijuana references.
Yeah.
I mean, some of my favorite movies are marijuana movies. So a lot of
Pineapple Express,
Half Baked, like, God, I named two movies.
Yeah, you're good. No, but that I get the gist of it. I understand. But my question also is like, do you also recommend it for people who are creative, or do you think
I do? I mean, but to each his own.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has their own creative like space.
Yeah.
Some people work really well drunk.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm drunk, I will not be able to perform.
That's me.
I will not be able to write. Like. I'm done at that point. The second that I reach intoxicated, gone. All productivity.
When I'm drunk, I'm a fucking comedian, bro. That's how I wrote that whole script for, like, Valentine's Day. Because, like, first I was, like, shitting on, like, people and shitting on myself. I was like, all right, hold on. You're going too crazy, bro. Just chill for a minute. But, yeah, like, that's how I totally get that.
That video is hilarious.
Thank you, bro. It's just
fucking joke.
Thank you.
But, no, it's... I think... I don't recommend weed for everybody, but if you've never tried it, give it a try.
Oh, you know that I can say that for sure.
Yeah, like give it at a try. Least give it a try. Yeah. Like I think everything's worth trying once, except for like meth and heroin and crack.
Yeah,
but like
get away from that. Yeah,
I mean like everything's worth trying once.
Mm-hmm.
Foods, everything. Like just fucking give it a
try. I know a lot of people do psychedelics.
I got a weird relationship with them.
Oh really?
Like, I got a really weird relationship with psychedelics. I've never taken shrooms, but I took acid in high school. That was a fucked up night. That was a real fucked up night. Goblins coming out of the fucking floor.
This one when
you're hiding under the table? Yeah. Cheetahs running around the house, bro. Like, I saw a cheetah just, like, you know how they, like, walk, like, and they're really, like, kind of majestic about it? I saw this motherfucker just, I'm sitting in a room just, like, on the couch like this. I look out the hallway, and I'm like,
yo, it's a fucking cheetah.
I'm like, hey, did you see that shit? And somebody's like, what the fuck are you talking about? There's a fucking cheetah in the hallway. And I, like, go looking for it, and I'm, like, warning people, like, hey, be careful, there's a big cat on the loose. And everybody's like, what's wrong with this kid? Like, what the fuck is wrong with him? And then somebody tells me that the fucking three breath strips I ate were acid.
Oh, shit.
And not actually breath strips. And that's when the trip got bad. Like, everything was real cool and fun until I found out. Hey,
Sean just told me to tell you about when we took shrooms.
Oh, Sean, I know that story. I want to hear that story from your end, though.
Yeah, bro.
You can get on the mic if you want.
Yeah, you
want to
come sit on the couch?
I really don't want you,
bro. Just get on, bro. Just get on.
That fresh ass fit on.
There you go, son.
So, it was me, Sean, our boy Jay Smith, who passed away. RIP to Jay Smith. And who else? Oh, Brandon. I don't know if you knew Brandon. But us four, we
like
all. No. It was another Brandon. You don't know him. But we all decided to take shrooms. We put like probably one. We started with like a cap and we put on a pizza. And we just ate it. We just, you know, it was like 6 o'clock on like a Sunday. We had nothing to do. And maybe it probably was a little bit earlier, but we took it, waited.
Wait a minute. What, you say 6 o'clock at night?
Yeah.
Doesn't that shit last for like 8 or 9 hours?
Yeah, it was 6 o'clock because I tried to go to sleep and I couldn't. It was definitely 6 o'clock. So we took it and we waited. We waited a little bit and like we didn't feel nothing. So we was like, fuck this. Let's put some more caps. I was like, look, let me just do a half. So I did a half and then like Sean and everybody else did like a whole. I was like, y'all good. Y'all do what y'all do. And then like, I mean, pretty much that shit is just weird, bro. Like, I mean, I was sitting like just like this. Like, you remember how Gateway was set up? Yeah, I was sitting right there by the door. Like, I had a water gallon. And we fucking watching TV, bro. Like, I'm seeing, like, elephants and, like, lions behind the TV. And then, like, I would pour water in my cup. And I would, like, sit it down. And then I would wait, you know, just continue watching the movie. Pick my cup up and shit was empty. Did I drink this shit? Or did I drink it before I put it down? Or, I couldn't remember. So it got to the point where I was holding the water in a cup at the same time. I'm like, ain't nobody taking this shit. Like, you're not going to do it. And then, like, Brandon, like, I started getting paranoid from him. Because this dude was standing in front of the fucking refrigerator. Just, like, wobbling back and forth. And then next thing I know, he's, like, fainted.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, oh, shit. The police about to come. The ambulance about to come. Fire department about to come. Like, we about to get in trouble. We going to have to tell them we did drugs. I'm like, fuck. And, like, they was like, Greg, calm down. Relax, bro. Relax. So they
we
like
tell them we did drugs.
I went to the corner. Like they got him up, and he was like, he was good. And I was like, fuck! I thought my knees was gonna give out. Like I was really like fucked up and paranoid. Like I really thought my knees.
Holy Ghost hit you hard,
bro. And then the homie Sean, he's like, bro, we gotta go outside. I was like, yeah, let's go. And bro, we just started walking outside, bro. Trees is swaying. Like we felt like that shit was talking to us.
Yeah.
Like Sean had a way better experience outside on shrooms, like walking around, like.
But that's just his mentality, though.
Yeah, like, and me, I was just making sure I didn't fall. And then eventually, once I saw him vibing, I was like, all right, let me do this. And like, you know, we was just moving around. And then there was a point where I tried to go to sleep, but I couldn't. Like, I literally couldn't go to sleep. It was, like, 2 in the morning.
That's the other thing, though. At that age, your, like, demeanor and Sean's demeanor were, like, polar opposites.
Yeah.
Sean was always, like, super looking. Yeah, blood. Like,
yeah. Yeah, blood.
Like, yeah. And then you're always like, hey, hey, Wes. Like I swear this man used to yell, like, every time he walked in the house, like, yo, hey, Dubs, where you at? And I'm like... My room is the second room in the house. I'm like, I'm right here, Greg. Like, I'm here. Oh, I was just making sure you were home.
You gotta make sure, though.
You walk into Sean's room every time, though. What's up, blood? What you on?
Yeah, he was just so low-key. I mean, he's still that way now. He's a little bit more turned up. But yeah, he's still, you know, Sean T.
That's what's up, bro. That is...
Yeah, bro, but shrooms, like, that's why I have, like, I hear people now talking about, oh, hey, I want to take shrooms. It's like, yo, I would take it again, but it's like, I feel like I had more of a negative experience than a positive experience just because of the whole faint shit was. Because
I've had more negative experience than positive experience with weed. Because, like, I get paranoid high, too.
He had a lot of negative experiences with weed the first time he smoked with me. Bro, the first time he smoked in my house, he puked in my fucking sink.
That's me.
I'm like,
that's me, bro.
The fuck is this? I was like, bro, you just wasted that whole hit. And he's like,
bro, oh no, I've had like, I've thrown it for like 10 minutes straight.
Bro, he hit it so hard the first time that he's like, as he's like dying coughing, he's like locking and unlocking the door, looking out the peephole, like making sure nobody's.
Look, I get paranoid. I used to get paranoid when I was on
drugs.
I would always think, like, the police or, like, somebody was coming for me.
Mm-hmm. Same. Man. Yeah, same here.
It didn't even have to be the police. Just somebody was coming for me.
Statistically, they usually are.
Like, yo, come on, man. Shut the fuck up.
I mean...
But it's good for me, like, I'm always, like, in a spot where I have to take care of myself. Like, because I always drive myself to parties or, like, I'm here in my house.
Oh, no.
My parents are Mexican. So, you know how it is. You know how those Mexican parents. You can't smoke here. Like, once you're caught, boom, you're dead, bro. But, so, yeah, like, if I'm high, I'm just like... I act normal as much as possible, bro. And I just fucking can't, you know? But... Bro,
yeah, no, I wasn't allowed to smoke in my... Like, my parents were not cool with it growing up. My parents were strict as fuck.
Yeah.
My dad found, like, a nickel bag in my fucking... In my work bag once. Mm-hmm. He's like, what's in that bag? And you know that, like, when you're a kid...
You're like,
And like, you have a bag, you know how deep it is, and you pretend like you can't reach the bottom of it. Oh, I can't get to the bottom here. Yeah. And he's like, just fucking dump it out.
Yeah.
So he sees the weed in the pipe. I came home from work that night. Mm-hmm. My dresser's flipped upside down. What? All the drawers are out of it.
What the fuck?
Like, it looked like the DEA raided my fucking room. Shit. My mom and dad are like, there's no weed in there. I was like, yeah, I know there's no weed in there. The only shit I had, you took. Like, I'm broke. I'm in high school. I'm a fucking busboy at a dive bar, man. What do you think I'm making? Like, picking up Reggie from the dudes on the bus. Like, come on, man.
You're part of a narco or some shit? What do you mean? The Orfeo Chapo?
Yeah. Nah, parents snitching on me. I stole gum from the fucking dollar store once. Not only did my mom make me take it back, but she took me to the police station.
What the fuck?
Yeah, my mom fucking turned me in.
Damn, what, for a piece of gum?
Yeah, it'd be your own family, man. Bro, I was 6 years old.
It really do be your own family. I got caught stealing a Circle K too, but the cops came in. The lady, like, nah. So what happened was, like, me and my friends always ditch school to go steal from Circle K, but we did too often. So the lady knew who we were. So
we used to do a lot of work. Walmart.
This is on the mic, bro. All right, but no. But well, yeah, what happened was that, like, me and this homie, like, we just constantly go to Circle K. But we're familiar faces now, so now it's like, that's mistake number one. We're familiar faces. Two.
Not a good crime.
Yeah. So, like, we're all just stealing candy and shit. Lady comes up into your pockets. I'm like, fuck. And we're caught. My homie is already at the door dipping. He already left me behind. The lady locks the doors. She calls the cops, and I'm like, fuck, and I'm in the back of the office.
How old were you?
I'm like, I was in middle school.
Oh, okay.
I was in middle school at that time, so yeah.
That's just a quick slap on the wrist.
Yeah, bro, when I got home, bro, ass whooping up the
Well,
ass.
Yeah, well, no. The cops is a quick slap on the wrist.
Yeah, the cop was like, you're just a fucking...
Parents, that's a rough kick in the ass.
Yeah, bro, my dad fucking whipped out a fucking 40-hit combo on my ass, bro. Pulled some Dragon Ball Fighter ass combos, bro. He whipped out a Kamehameha and shit.
Started spinning on his head, kicking you. Like, yeah, Eddie from Tekken.
Yeah, Eddie from Tekken, bro. Thanks. But no, that's how it was. It was just like a terrible ass day. I was like, fuck. I deserved it though, because that shit I was supposed to be doing.
Of course.
But when I got back from school, when I saw the kid, I got mad, bro. Because I was like, you fucking left me, you bitch. And like, we got into a fight. Then I got suspended.
And probably got in trouble again. Yeah. Another 40-hit combo.
Yeah. No, actually, my dad was like, just stop getting in trouble, dude. Like, he wasn't mad. He was like, just stop getting in trouble, all right? Just stop doing this stupid shit, please.
I don't have the energy for this tonight.
Exactly.
Get the fuck out of here. All right.
Now, back to questions, my guy.
Let's do it.
So, Slumdog Baby, why'd you make that into a funny video? Or, like, why'd you want to, like, be all Nerf guns and shit like that, you know? Because you're, like...
The song is really a parody. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some truth behind it, because I grew up... And saw some shit. Mm-hmm. Never took part in any of this shit.
What shit you see?
Yeah, blood.
I can't talk about that on the mic. First and foremost, I've never been a part of it, but I've seen, I know people, and I have friends who have been. Mm-hmm. So it's like talking from other people's experiences, mm-hmm. and this is the city I'm from. Like that's just it's a slum dog type city. Like it's grimy as shit.
Yeah,
and I mean, clearly I'm not a gangster.
Yeah,
like so it's just like. I couldn't do something where we where I'm trying to be hard as fuck in that video because the whole song is a fucking joke.
Yeah.
Like, take it how you will. It's it, there's like experience and like thought out stories in there that or stories, but like bars in there. But like, it's all a parody. It was all to have fun and just be like, yeah, I'm grimy as shit from home, but like, I'm funny about it.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of like a sense of humor, but I tried to take it as serious as possible.
Yeah.
So that way, when you saw me and you saw all of us, like, you're like, all right, this isn't.
Yeah.
They're clearly not serious. Yeah. But you hear the song and it's like, oh, homie's really fucking spitting.
Yeah. Then when you see the music video, it's like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah. And then you realize what it is.
I got you. What your other music video is also October 14th.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, I kind of want to talk about that later. Just because, like, your whole album itself, The Other Side of Love, is just pretty fucking good. Like,
thank you.
I really like it, dude. High, yeah, High is my favorite. Slum Dog, of course.
That's everybody's favorite is the High.
It's
an industry fucking song, bro. Like to me, like if I felt like I had the avenue and like the connections to do it, or if I gave a fuck enough to do it, I would sit outside of 101.5 and like. Wait till somebody comes outside and kicks me out and just continue to try to hand them this song.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's got that ability to be like...
Yeah, because it's really catchy. The tone is good. Beat is good.
Yeah, and it's just... It's catchy enough that you can play it enough until you fucking hate the song.
Yeah.
And that's where I've gotten to with that song. Like, I listen to it all the time because it helps me get better. But... I fucking hate that song by now because I've heard it so much.
Yeah.
Every time I'm around my family, they play the song. It's just like, we love this song. And I'm like, I fucking hate this song now. Like, I'm over it. I've heard it probably 1,000 times.
Oh, so what are like some of your favorite songs from that project, though?
October 14th. No More Hoes.
I like that one a lot, too.
No More Hoes.
No Games, too.
No Games is... I like No Games. No Games literally happened... spur of the moment, to be honest with you. That song was not planned to be on the album. And then I met the guy who made it, Deep State, was on Kush America's stream the week before, and I was on the stream the week before I dropped the album. Heard his beat, took that beat, and made that song 3 days later.
Oh, shit.
And just, that became the intro to the album.
That's
it just fit, and I was like, perfect. Like, that's why I love that song so much.
What were we going to do without it, though? Like, were you planning on something else, or...?
I had other songs that I wanted to use, but I won't release them just because I don't think they're the same quality.
I got you.
Like, I was kind of disappointed because, honestly, I was going to start the album off with Slumdog Baby. And I was just like, let's do this. But, like, when you listen to No Games, like, I was trying to tell a story on the album.
Yeah, because you have... A lot of serious, like, lyrics and by some of the even serious songs, too. And there's, like, something like Slumdog Baby, and where you're just, like, you're just fucking around on a beat, you're just having fun, you know?
So that's what the whole second half of the album really was. The first album was, like, first half of the album, the first few songs is, I mean, you start with No Games, which is, truthfully, it's just the story of me, like, kind of falling in love. Not, like, truly word for word, but, like, falling in love. And then
No Games.
No Games tonight. Like, I'm not going to play any games with you. Like, we're going to make this real. And then it's the highs. Like, like when I'm at my high or when you're at your high right now, I'm really at my fucking lowest. And then it's about the ending of it. Like, the feelings that I have now that this shit is all over.
Yeah.
Like, October 14th, obviously, more about suicide and, like, mental issues and depression than anything. But... it all leads into like No More Hoes, and it's just like, nah, fuck this.
Yeah.
Snap back to reality, and it's like,
I'm happy.
This is who the fuck I am.
Yeah.
I'm not that dude. This is what it is.
That's for sure. And what made you want to make this project?
Gotta tell the story, huh? So I got really sick. like really, really sick. Mm-hmm. Went through four different procedures. Mm-hmm. I fell in love, got married, and then got divorced. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty heart fucking breaking.
Yeah.
Like that was one of the most heartbreaking times of my life. Mm-hmm. Now I'm fucking thankful every day. Fucking so grateful that shit is over. But between that and like when I got married, when I made like a commitment to really be with this woman, the decision was made that I wasn't going to make music anymore. Because she said to me, if I made music and I ever got big, she wouldn't be able to trust me if I went like on tour and went and did this, and this is what she wanted. And I was like, I want a family. Do I really see the potential in music right now? No, and the family's right here. So I took the easy route and went for the family. Turns out that was not going to be the family. That shit is nothing now. Yeah. So the album was just kind of to give people a little bit of a vibe, like where the fuck I've been.
Yeah.
And
because that's what another thing I get from this album too is like you're making a comeback, but
yeah,
I couldn't. Do you have like a SoundCloud or anything either?
I do, I don't use it.
Okay.
Yeah, like I don't post anything on there anymore.
That's the thing I started doing now. Like I didn't start looking towards SoundCloud because a lot of people have their old shit on there. And they're like, I don't even do that shit anymore. So I'm like, all right, let's talk about it.
You know? Yeah, no, like I think the last song I made before we started working on this album, so the album took 2 years. And none of the songs that I worked on for the first 19 months of those 2 years made the album.
Yeah.
But actually, one of them did, Calabasas. I'm sorry. But like, I took 5 years away from music.
Yeah. Damn, that's a long ass time.
Yeah, bro. Like, you know how depressed I was without music in my life? Like,
hella depressed.
Yeah, like, this is what I fucking love. Mm. And, like, I'm depriving myself every day of something that I love to do, whether I was good at it or not at the time, whether I was making fucking classic shit or not. Mm. I loved what I was doing when I was doing it. Mm. I was never my happiest when music wasn't involved.
Yeah.
And then when I came back to this shit, it's like, yeah, the first few songs in the album are just like, where I was, and then the next are like, this is who I am now with music back in my fucking life.
Yeah.
Listen to how much emotion and excitement is in all these fucking bars. Like, personally, No More Hoes is a fucking banger.
Yeah, like, it is.
It's a fucking disrespectful song. Oh. It's so fucking disrespectful.
I love that though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Like, when an artist's like, yo, fuck, I'm gonna just disrespect some shit.
And yeah, like, I'm very disrespectful in that song, and I'm very well aware. Mm-hmm. I'm very well aware. Mm-hmm. But I had so much fun making it, because there was so much pent-up aggression that I needed to get out about this situation that it was just like...
Cause
I felt like people kept poking me.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you poked this bear too many times... Like, I'm going to growl and eat your fucking lunch.
I think it's October 14th. You mentioned, like, yeah, I have a lot of bottled up emotions, and, like, I just feel like just coming out.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. You mentioned that in one of your songs. And the whole album, I was just like, this is really emotional. But it's also, like, not, like, emo or vocal.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, like, you're just revealing it, like, hey, this is who I am. This is who I...
There's some fucking scars, like
there's obviously scars. But there's also like a bright side to it, so it's not anything too fucking emotional, too sad or anything like that. Like, exactly, just who I am, you know.
Exactly. Like, honestly, the album couldn't have happened without like the people that like it's the people that you have around you when you're at your lowest.
Yeah.
That help you get back, like not only back to where you were, but like I feel like I'm the best version of myself that I've been in. 8 years, and like couldn't do that without my like. I call them family, like, obviously my parents and my brother.
Yeah.
And, like, but, like, family. Like, family's the people that literally picked me the fuck up off the ground and, like, put me back on my feet. I hit some fucking low points, and family is what got me back into this shit. They're like, bro, you fam. Need... Fam, huh?
The fam, son.
Like, this dude has like, put me back in the game, man.
That's good, though.
Put me back,
wait, so how back to now, life. Man?
I'll be 30 in April.
Gotcha. And it's 8 years, damn.
Mm-hmm. A lot of wasted fucking time. A lot of time.
I mean, I don't think it's really wasted because you learned something from it. Like, you got something
true, out of it. True, like, true, true. But I mean, like, not making music in that time period, That's what I feel like I wasted. Like
you feel like you, you just like regret the time. You rather have that time being used.
Just because of how old I was at that time. Like, I was still at the age where, like, if shit popped off, nobody is so invested in their career at that point that they're that they couldn't just, like, if shit really, really, really popped off, that they couldn't just be like, all right, we can drop what we're doing right now. We're with you. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Now people are too invested in it, in their own shit. Like, people got kids. Yeah. People are married. Like, ain't nobody coming across the country to tour with me. Yeah. That's in a relationship or married or owns their own businesses. Like, I mean, that's just not happening.
Yeah.
Like, and I can't expect that of people.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, man, it feels good to be alone.
Mm.
Like, the solidarity of, like, just knowing that, like, I got me is just been, it's a different feeling. I don't think I've ever felt this.
You learn the power of yourself. What you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I say that a lot. I say that in my videos. Like, I like to learn what I can do. I like to learn the things I want to do. Because I've been so used to, like, soccer teams and being part of groups. Like, I was like, I know I can work well with people. Can I do the same amount of effort they did as a group, but just as me as a person, you know?
Right, right, right.
So, that's something I just like to figure out. Not just try to do it, but if I can do it, then I can do it.
Exactly. I mean, you need help along the way with some things. But no, like,
without a doubt.
But there's a and honestly, to be completely honest with you, on this album, I didn't make any of the beats myself. I didn't engineer any of this shit myself. Mm. But I felt like I arranged it all myself. Mm. Shout out Sauce. I'm sorry.
Hey, Grip said big shout outs to Deep State.
Yeah, big shout outs putting the fucking intro together on that one. EK even said that night when we listened to that beat, he was like, "Nah, man, I couldn't hear this being a song." I was like, let's roll.
Oh, shit.
I was like, you take your beat of the night. I'll take my beat of the night. Let's go.
That's pretty dope.
Fuck. But, no, it was, like, the J. Cole mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Or even, like, I guess the Mamba mentality to feel like you can push yourself to a different level and do shit on your own.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you're trying to accomplish, really all it takes is fucking hard work. You can figure anything out.
Yeah.
You can get better at anything no matter what age you're at. Mm-hmm. Like, people are always adding wrinkles to their game.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason Dr. Dre is still relevant in hip-hop.
True.
I mean, it's not because Still Dre is that good of a beat. It's because the man knows what he's doing. Like, he's added things to his game. He's added different... His knowledge of business has changed. Yeah. Like, his knowledge of social media has changed. Like, I mean, some people haven't changed.
Yeah.
Eminem. I love Eminem.
True.
I love Eminem.
We all do.
But I just don't think the guy has changed at all.
And that's what, like, sucks. Because, like, I remember back then, people were like, yo, don't diss Eminem. He's the fucking greatest. Now look at us. We're all
making I still won't diss Eminem.
No, but, like, we're not.
I won't cross that
line. We're all still making fun of people who rap fast. We're still making fun of people. Because that's what Eminem
does. Yeah, yeah. But, like, I mean, I'll be honest, bro. Yeah. A lot of my style is influenced by Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he never evolved. And when he did evolve, it evolved into, like, this Middle Eastern accent.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like we were listening. Who do you remember that puppet dog that used to go around and had like a Hispanic accent and he used to make fun of people, got in a lot of trouble. Do you remember that shit?
Hispanic dog.
Accent.
So, oh, okay.
But it was like a person talking, but it was just a dog.
Oh yeah, did it have like a cigar in his mouth?
Yes.
Yes. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
That's who Eminem started to sound like when he rapped.
Yeah, I remember.
It was just like this doesn't seem real anymore. It doesn't seem authentic. It just. It's not you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just everyone knew. Mm-hmm. Like, you weren't evolving because he was doing everything by himself.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you followed Eminem's career, the three albums that really sucked,
mm-hmm.
or that people said sucked, I'm not going to be caught on microphone saying that. The three albums that people said sucked, he produced a lot of it.
Yeah.
And he engineered most of it, mastered most of it. And it's just like, if you don't have any outside influence, homie, like, the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
The new album that he just dropped, I think is dope.
I haven't listened to it yet.
I think it's real dope. Mm-hmm. There's this song he's got on there with Black Dot, Q-Tip, and Royce the 5'9".
Mm-hmm.
Fucking banger, bro. Like, he's got some fire on there. And it's because he's back with Dre. Mm-hmm. He's got other people working on the music with him. And it's just like, it's different ears.
Okay.
Can't do everything alone, but you can do a lot of it alone. Yeah. Like, you can write all your bars by yourself.
Yeah.
But somebody else has to hear this shit.
True.
Sorry, I go on rants.
No, you're good. I like when people go on rambles. It's all good. Eminem didn't go with the waves. That's what Greg is saying. know what you're talking about. It was that hand puppet. Yeah. The first three albums are gold. Everything else can also be skipped or should be.
I'm never going to say that. Elaborate. Grip. You can say that about Eminem. I will not.
I won't. But like I said, with Eminem, not just him, but his influence, because like everyone makes fun of the whole like spiritual, lyrical, miracle individuals, you know, fast rappers, or the fucking, what's that one song that just came out like not too long ago? It was like a Death to Mumble Rap. Those rappers, remember? Have you heard that corny ass song? Mm-mm. Bro, okay, it's pretty bad.
Okay,
it's pretty bad, because like it's like they're heavily inspired by Eminem, but like they're basically copying almost thing, you know, like. The flow's almost the same.
It's like that dude where when Nick Cannon dropped his diss tracks, there was like a dude who sounds like Eminem.
Yeah.
That came back and made fake diss tracks back at him.
And it was
just... It's just like Eminem... Yeah. Here's my thing with Eminem. The bars are always going to be tight. Mm-hmm. It's just... He doesn't appeal to the to like today's youth.
Yeah.
And that's okay, though. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, people probably don't fuck with the Bee Gees like I do.
Yeah.
But the Bee Gees made dope-ass music and continued making dope-ass music for a long time. Like, that's just, you don't have to like him.
Yeah.
But he's got his fan base, and it's not going anywhere, and he's cemented his place in hip-hop history. Mm. So at this point, he's kind of just like, I mean, he's unsuccessfully Kanye Westing around.
Yeah.
In the rap game. That's really what he's just doing. He's unsuccessfully Kanye Westing. Like, he's just... shitting on everybody and everything and just ranting and going off.
Yeah.
And it's like, but it's just okay.
Mm. But yeah, my issue is like the people who are like copying him basically and like trying to be another Eminem, but like I'm the next one. Like, no, you can't. Like,
no.
You really can't.
No, this was a moment in time.
Yeah.
The closest thing we've honestly ever seen to Eminem was Tyler, the Creator.
Yeah.
The intro to Tyler, the Creator. Mm. Now, Tyler is not like that, but...
Yeah.
Like,
because he evolved too.
Yeah, exactly. He evolved with his music, like, but he kept people around. That's why he started working with ASAP. He started working with
Frank Ocean.
I mean, yeah, Frank was a game changer. To me, that's my favorite artist in music. Period.
Yeah, I think he's gonna be a legend.
He already is, man. Yeah,
true.
Channel Orange, to me, maybe one of the greatest albums of maybe one of the top 50 albums of all time.
That's pretty dope. I think it'd be Blonde for me.
And that's what's crazy is like I love Blonde too, but it's like, man, Pyramids is a masterpiece.
True that.
13-minute song.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's doing that these days.
True.
And you're not listening to all 13 minutes.
Uh-huh.
That's the thing is like when Frank's Pyramids came out, you listened to that track all the way through because it took you somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like it almost made you feel like you were on drugs.
Yeah.
Even if you were completely sober.
True.
It just... I love that shit. I fucked with it heavy.
Yeah. But no. The music... Some music is good.
You said it's cool if I hit this? Cool.
What's up? You can go ahead and fucking...
You sure?
Yeah. Okay. But... Nah. Music overall, though, even though there's, like, some bad things, I don't really, like, hate Eminem either. I'm just, like... There's some still beautiful things about it. There's still some, like... There's still this old shit I can still listen to, so I can still go bump to that instead of the new things.
Man, if I'm in a bad mood and I turn that song Kim on... where he's like he's got his ex in the trunk and rapping about it and there's like trucks driving by him and shit and he's like, now bleed, bitch, bleed.
Yeah.
Like, bro, I used to drive around with my like when me and my ex were married, I would drive around like bumping the shit out of that song if I was like in a bad mood. And like it would just make people so uncomfortable. And it's like it hits me in a different way. It's just like, fuck, man, this guy really isn't afraid to just let it all out.
Yeah.
Like, he's not afraid to say anything. Mm-hmm. Fuck, that's got to be empowering. Like, that's got to feel so good. Mm-hmm. Like, I censor a lot of the shit that I say because I know...
You get some...
I don't want to hurt people's feelings, man. I'm a nice guy. Like, at least I try to be.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I really want to be mean sometimes.
Yeah,
like,
you want to go on that
I really want to shit on people sometimes. Yeah. Like, like, I have a tough time with that. Like, I really want to be nice to people, but, like... I can really roast the fuck out of somebody if I wanted to.
Yeah.
And I really want to do it a lot.
Uh-huh.
I just won't allow myself to do it.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
It takes a lot to get to that point.
I understand that entirely because I'm the same fucking way at work. Like, I get these fucking agents that come to me all the time. Like, can you edit this video for me? I'm like, bro, first of all, are you going to pay me? Second of all, how's your day? For third of all, fuck you. Like, you know, like...
fuck you, pay me.
Like, oh, you fucking stupid-ass old dude that coming in, like, my office. Just like,
where do you work?
I work at a real estate company.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm a video editor. We do like a lot of just YouTube videos, and that's pretty much it. But sometimes like they hear about like agents hear about me like, oh, can you just do this for me? And I'm like, no, I don't get. You're not gonna pay me first of all. Two, I'm just like, nah. Either I'm tired, bro. Like I'm working full time now.
So nah,
like,
I'm tired.
So now I'm just like. You know I do other things like.
Come on, Sally. I don't got time exactly, for your
bullshit. Like, I'm not like you guys where I go to work, go home to my wife and kids, and then hate my life. No, I actually like I have other things that I'm doing and I'm
done. Yeah, like, I'm trying to better myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working this dead end ass exactly, job. Exactly. Like,
I'm actually not trying to work at this job.
I don't know if it is a dead end job. I'm sorry.
No, it's not. It's that, I can use.
I didn't mean that.
You're fine, dude. No, you're fine, dude. But like, no, it's not a dead end. It can be if I stay there. That's the thing. That's what I'm always for people who are watching. If y'all feel like you're at a dead-end job, you can always change it, all right? You can always just change it. Trust me.
Indeed. LinkedIn. Go find an application. You Break I Fix is hiring in Tempe, I'm sure. They're open. Gilbert, Arizona. They're open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. right there off Gilbert in the 202. You saw the owner on live earlier. But yeah, no, dead end jobs suck. But they're only dead end jobs if you allow it to get to that point, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if you like what you're doing, it's not really a dead end.
I do like it, yeah. Of course. But I know for a fact, like within a year or two, I'll probably hate myself because I hate staying in the same place for sure. That's why I'm like, that's why I'm doing this now. That's why I'm doing modeling. That's why I'm like, all right, I'm going to other avenues of careers where like I like doing.
There's a lesbian model in this room,
right, baby? I hear fucking
somebody gave this man a contract.
Please. Damn. I need money.
Damn.
That's how you do it. Go make your schmooze. Go make
hey, do they know you do this show?
Yeah, I hit up the photographer and I was like, hey, bro, I have a podcast. He's like, yo, word. I'm like, yeah. And then we just start connecting.
That's so dope. Are you going to have him on the show?
Yes, soon.
That's
soon.
What's
soon. Because he was talking about, I was like, bro, like, can you get me on? I'm like, yeah, for sure. And then like the music I was playing on the video were me dancing. He showed me another rapper. He's here in AZ. He's like, yo, you fuck with AZ? I'm like, yeah, bro. And show me him.
What's
like,
his name?
Royal Michael. Royal Michael.
Huh. I have to write that in the...
It's like... That's how you do it.
I feel like I've seen this person before.
But he's apparently he's another pretty cool artist here. I was like listening to shit. I'm like, yo, this shit actually fucking bumps. And then like, that's when I started making the videos. Like, yeah, bitch. Ha!
Yeah, like... yeah. Fucking... Mm-hmm. That video had me weak as fuck. Just because, so Greg, the inside joke that this rapper Mastodon Rare said is that he always looks like a happy lesbian.
Oh, because like I wore the leather jacket and like I was having like some skinny jeans on too.
Yeah.
My hair was like nice and curly.
Damn.
So,
wrong with it.
So he was dressed up in this like rolled up tank top, like white t-shirt today on his story dancing. And I was like, hey, why is lesbian AC Slater all over my fucking timeline right now?
Damn, man.
You go hard. Hey, the drip, son.
Hey, you know.
No, but it's all good. I like that, too, because like, we just blew it up. We took it to a whole nother level. So like, I don't really care if someone comes to me like, yo, you're a lesbian. I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
He's like,
I'm the... Yeah. I'm like, bitch, I don't give a fuck. Be careful with your girl.
God damn. I get the strap.
Don't make me go get feelings and shit, and then yeah. Make you leave you and shit. don't get it. All right, for real. Does he own one? Is Unbreak Fix a franchise? How much you got to put down to start one up?
Go to the website.
He said, "Go to the website." That's what he said.
Who said that, Grip?
Yeah.
It's about what? You got to buy a store. You got to set the store up. Buy inventory. You
gotta get improved for the revenue first.
Oh, you gotta get approved.
Yeah.
Hey, Grip, I'm gonna let you know it's not cheap. It's not cheap.
A milli.
Yeah, it's not that much, but.
Alright. Nah, bro, he's Mexican Harry Potter. True, because I got the scar on my forehead, too. I don't know if you guys ever noticed the scar on my forehead.
No,
Yeah, it's right there.
Mexican Harry Potter.
Yeah, that's me.
That's
sir.
Fucked up.
That's
bro.
Me. That's so. No, funny. So when I wore, like, I used to have like square glasses. Then when I started wearing these circle ones, I'm like, yo, look, it's logic. I'm like, fuck out of here, bro.
Oh,
no, fuck. But it's okay. I was a buster too. And the motherfucker was like right in front of his girlfriend. Yo, look, it's logic. I'm like, I'm right here, dog. Like you can say it to my face. But yeah, that's what happened. All right.
Oh fuck,
man.
Mexican little dicky.
Mexican little dicky. Hey, that's the first.
with the fade on the side. With the
fade, yes, sir.
Mexican little dicky right there.
Yes, sir. All right. We talked mostly about the album, but there's still like one song that I want to get real into detail, though.
Okay.
And that's October 14th.
All right.
So, what basically led to that? And you basically already summed up, like, you know.
So October 14th is October 14th, 2010. I tried to commit suicide. Mm-hmm. Did not successfully do that. Mm-hmm. Like I actually went all the way with it. Like I was prepared to like just slip out. And so since then I've really dealt with some like heavy depression. Mm-hmm. I don't know truly what it's, I mean, I know some of what it stems from. You know, obviously X. Mm-hmm. Probably, like, moving out here was low-key kind of tough for me because I moved out to Arizona knowing nobody. Mm-hmm. My parents, like, just kind of dropped me off at school, mm-hmm. built their own little retirement life, like, 2.5-3 hours away. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, my brother's, yeah, he's in Chandler, but it's just like, I got to start this life on my own. And it's like, I don't have a home to go back to.
It's like, you're pretty intimidating.
Yeah, it's just like, when you've known something for 18 years and gotten comfortable with it, it's just kind of like, it's intimidating. My best friend, like, in the world is back in Baltimore. Like, I've known this kid since I was 2 years old. And so, for him not to be around, and he's somebody I was around, like, we never even went to the same school. Mm-hmm. But we were close as fuck. Like, he's just as close as any of my my immediate family is to me.
Yeah.
And so not being around him, like, that shit kind of fucked me up at first. I'm just like, I'm in a new place, I know nobody. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fucking people here at this fucking school.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure who the fuck I want to be, like, what the fuck I want to do with my life right now. Mm-hmm. But I know I'm here and there's no going back.
Yeah.
And then shit just kind of got weird. Like, I started experimenting with drugs. Mm-hmm. Not, like, crazy shit, but it was just, like, the party drugs. Mm-hmm. And that shit fucked my mental state up. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing healthy about being drunk mm-hmm. 6 days a week.
Yeah. Like,
there's just nothing healthy about that. Mm-hmm. Or just randomly while you're blacked out drunk, fucking taking a couple fucking hits of ecstasy. Mm-hmm. Why the fuck not?
Yeah.
Like, it's just stupid shit like that where I, like, I felt like I unbalanced myself chemically, like I did it to myself, and then I could just I never got back the even ground. And so October 14th is just really about that night, and then like the feelings I had after that. Like, I've gone through a couple different issues with depression and like suicide. So the first was from all this shit in college, and then the second one was like when I was really sick. I was walking on a cane, like I could barely take care of myself. My ex was never around for me. And it just, like, that shit ate at me.
Yeah.
It ate at me and ate at me. And I was just like, there were days where I would look at myself in the mirror and just be like, "Is today could be the last day and no one would give a fuck." And that wasn't true. Yeah. But, you know.
It's in your head.
Yeah.
Like, I've dealt with suicide too. It's like, you kind of sit there and you're just like, I could just do this right now if I want to. No one care. But and honestly, like, people would care. Like
so many fucking people would
care.
Yeah,
like, people, like...
Like, it's... And it's alarming. Like, you see these kids who commit suicide. Like, even the kids that are bullied that commit suicide. Like, the outreach and the people who get affected by that shit.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And, like, it's... As I've gotten healthier and healthier mentally, it's the most selfish shit in the world to kill yourself.
Yeah.
Like, to me. Like, I get it, you don't want to live anymore, but like,
but these people are happy to see you.
There's other, there's more to live for than just doing what the fuck you want to do. Like, that's not why you're here. That's not why we were put here. We were here like to build something and to teach and be better and better and better. I really don't know why the true reason for us being here, but like, while we're here, we're supposed to be getting better and making each other better.
Yeah.
You killing yourself is ruining someone else's life. For sure. That makes nobody better. Just because you're not here anymore and you don't have to feel pain means they have to sit here and feel pain every single fucking and day.
Not even that, like, there'll be friends too, like, who feel guilt of, like, yo, what, like,
Could I have done more?
Yeah, why can't I save him? Why can't I be there for him? Why can't I just, like, do something about it?
Yeah.
Because think about this shit, like, you just, when you see a friend, like, suffer like that, you're just like, dude, I want to help this person. I can't do anything about it.
When one of your best friends is down, like, And me and him have seen each other in those situations. Mm. Like, shit, it kills you, bro. Like, when you look at them and you see, like, defeat on their face. Mm. And, like, you know better than that. That's not who they are.
Yeah.
But in the moment, they're just, they're beaten up.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, how do you, you can't let somebody feel like that. Mm-hmm. If you see that shit, you gotta speak about it. Mm-hmm. Like, say something to somebody. Mm-hmm. Check in on your fucking, check in on your friends. Hit up your friends and see what's going on. If you haven't heard from somebody in a month, hit them up.
Facts.
Right, Greg?
Yeah, right, Greg?
Facts. Facts.
No, but, I mean, I think mental health is just an issue that, like, we bring up so much in this country because we're all so ultra-sensitive.
Yeah.
But, like, if you really have mental a mental illness, this shit is fucking tough.
Yeah.
Like, it's really tough. Mm. People don't understand how tough that is because a lot of people don't ever really deal with depression. But when you're really in that shit, nothing makes sense. Why the fuck am I getting out of bed to shower? I'm not gonna do anything today.
Yeah.
The fuck are you talking about? Yeah. Like, what do you mean I should go cook food? McDonald's is right down the street. Uh-huh. Like, what the fuck? Beer tastes way better than water. Like,
not true. So, I totally catch you on that because, like, I'll seriously just be dead ass in my room, just like, I'm gonna do nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm just sitting, I'm not even sad. Sometimes it will be, but I'm just like, I'm going to just sit here. And
Netflix is on, but I'm falling in and out of sleep.
I won't even watch. I'll just do nothing. Like, not even on my phone. Nothing. Like, just sit there on my bed, just stare at the ceiling or at the window. And just, like, an hour or maybe 30 minutes. And that's it. You know? Like, there goes an hour. And then I'll get mad. I was like, yo, why the fuck did I just do that? I could have done something else right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you, bro. I've wasted probably months of my life like that. It's fucking... Yeah. Tragic.
I know. And tragic. Not my brother too. That's why, like, he moved back in, because, like, he was also shot in Odessa.
But, okay.
Yeah. So, like, his mind is so different now, dude. Like, he's not the same.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, and, like, well, it's not like crazy paranoid, but, like, he talks about, like, yeah, like, I just feel like one day the world's just gonna end, like, something like that, you know, like, because he doesn't.
I mean, PTSD, man.
Yeah, it's a PTSD talking.
You can have PTSD from fucking anything. Yeah. Now. Like, you have a bad experience at Six Flags, you could have PTSD. Like. Mm-hmm. Shit's crazy.
Yeah, so, like, I'm seeing him, like, that's what he does, too. Like, he stays in bed, he plays Xbox, I'm like, if that's your way of recovery, that's okay. He's getting therapy. But still, it's just, like...
At some point, yeah. You gotta be ready to take that next step. And that's the hardest part of depression, is, like, not even getting help, because getting help is hard. But once you're getting help, like, you gotta start doing this shit for yourself.
Yeah.
A doctor's only gonna tell you things. Like, when you actually start kicking on that door and you actually see that shit open up, like, that first step out the door is one of the toughest things in the world. It's like, all right, I feel like I'm getting back to myself. But then you almost got comforted by the depression.
Yeah.
Like, it was almost like a friend. Like, where the fuck did you go, man? Like,
yeah, no, I understand that. Yeah.
I had somebody to hang out in bed with all day, just me and my depression.
that's how it is, too. It's like, I think it's how my brother is, too, because he's just like, I think he's okay with this. He's okay with the dog, because that's actually his dog. And, like, they just sleep here in this room, like, half the day. And it's like, I'm like, still, if that's what makes you happy, still, like, I'm just worried that someday you got to get up.
Absolutely. Because
I've had those days where, like, I would just lay in bed all day because I was depressed as fuck. And, like, the things that got me back up were, like, friends.
Absolutely.
And the things I was doing. Like, when I started, you know, like, making myself, like, I started being happy when I started doing this shit, meeting you guys, meeting all these other people. Like, I'm not joking. You guys have been a positive impact on my life. So I'm trying to be, like...
For real.
And my job, too. Like, it's a lot of positivity going on.
Bro, I'm not even gonna lie. Before that Trunk Space show, I was dealing with some, like, stupidly depressive thoughts, and kind of, I think it was because I made that album, and, like, I was really playing that album and, like, diving into the, like, deep into those feelings, and that shit was, like, kind of, it was hurting my heart again. And so I was really depressed, and then I went to that show, and it was just like, there was so much love there, man. Like, that shit was crazy. It was like, I'd never met you until that night, and I never met Moss until that night. And as soon as I saw Moss, he's like, oh, Maddie Dubs, and it was like, we'd met each other like 20 times, and I'm like, this is a dope vibe, bro. Yeah. Like, this is a dope fucking vibe.
Because it makes you forget all about that stuff.
And I saw Fahad for the first time in like 7 years.
Damn, 7 years?
It wasn't that long, but he keeps ducking my fade, so.
Fahad, you know. What's that about, bro?
Hey, bro, I just thought of another one. Take your glasses off real quick.
What's up?
Bro, he's Mexican Patrick Mahomes.
I hear that. I've heard that sometimes. Patrick Mahomes.
That's awesome, bro. Yeah, I'm sorry. That. I'm sorry. No, I thought good, of one bro. More. I was like,
let's see. There's like another. I forgot. This is some dude who used to be on SNL. Some like Chris something.
Chris Kattan?
I think that's who it is. Yeah, that's someone told me that one time.
Somebody too. Called you Corky Romano.
Nah.
Well, no, that's who he was. Corky Romano. That movie Corky Romano. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen that movie.
It's fucking hilarious. All but right. Chris Kattan stars in it.
Okay, for sure.
He
for
plays sure. like this. Like, well, you've seen his character before and things.
Yeah, right? I've seen it. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so the way he acts, mm-hmm. and he's like the son of a mobster, mm-hmm. and they like infiltrate him into the FBI, and he has to pretend to be an FBI agent. What the fuck? And it goes really bad.
Wow.
He's like a gay vet. Like, that's what he is. He's a gay veterinary assistant.
That's.
And they put him into the FBI.
That's pretty crazy. What the fuck, man? So, of course, do you still deal with your mental issues, and do you still feel the same way about your song, you know?
What do you mean?
Like
as far as the song.
Like, of course, the scars are still there, mm-hmm. but do they still, like, hurt? Do they still, like...
No. Honestly, now that it's out, mm-hmm. and I got everything that I needed to get out, mm-hmm. and I was able to get all the creative aspect of what I wanted to get out, like, between having, a cool ass, to me at least, mm. album cover mm. that was original piece. Mm. Like, this girl painted that picture.
That's pretty dope.
Between that, the music videos, and then the way the album turned out, like, mm. at this point, I'm relieved mm-hmm. because it's over. Mm-hmm. Like, I won't play probably once I drop the next album, mm-hmm. I won't ever play that album again.
For sure.
Like, it's just not necessary.
I gotcha. All right, then. So, do you feel like more artists should be talking about that stuff more? Like, who's suicide and stuff like that?
I mean, only if it relates to you. Yeah. Like, I mean, if it's been a part of your life, mm. I feel like artists really have a duty to society to speak about themselves anyway. Mm. I mean, all art is expression of mm. who you are. And, like, as a musician, or an artist, we're making things that are expected to touch our own souls.
Yeah.
And if we're trying to put it out there, we're hoping that it's going to touch somebody else's. Mm. You can't touch somebody else's soul talking about shit that no one else can relate to.
Mm-hmm, true.
Like, what's a good example? Because I fuck with Future heavy. Mm. Like, but Future has songs where it's just talking about, like, Molly Percocet. Like,
yeah.
I don't do drugs, yeah. but I fuck with the song, but it's like, it doesn't move me in the way that, like, maybe a drug addict would get moved.
I don't really like rap songs that are about, like, money and chicks. I'm like, honestly, even if I had money, I would just be low-key about it.
Man, I love songs about money.
Really?
Yeah, because I want money. Like, I would love to have some money. Like, it's not like a must for me, but I'm hungry for money.
No, I understand that.
Hungry to eat. Mm. But... Yeah, like, if you're not being true to yourself, though, mm-hmm. in your music, I guess that's really what it is. Because mm-hmm. I can't even say that about Future's music, because he's true to himself. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you're not really true to yourself in your music, mm-hmm. how the fuck do you expect anybody else to really vibe with it?
Gotcha.
And that is the biggest thing I noticed about my music now and then, was, like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't touch on these subjects back in the day.
Yeah.
I was only, like, a punchline rapper.
Mm-hmm. And are you happy with the way your music is now?
I love it.
Yeah?
I love it, man. Like... giving people a piece of yourself, mm-hmm. like, people will give back pieces of themselves to mm-hmm. you, and it's crazy. Yeah. Like,
it's a beautiful exchange.
Yeah, when you have a producer tell you that, like, they love your music and mm-hmm. they want to work with you, that's wild to me, because mm-hmm. like, I've always looked at the producer like, shit, I'm giving you money because I want to work with you.
Yeah,
and like, having somebody be like, I mean, yeah, I'm still gonna pay them for their work, but it's but at the same time, be like, oh, I want to be on your album, and it's mm-hmm. like. What do you mean? Why my album?
Yeah, why not?
I fuck with your music, bro. Like, Astro hit me up the other day and was like, bro, I really fuck with your music. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that shit means something to me. Mm-hmm. Like, that means more than, like, any amount of plays that I could have or any amount of views I could have. Mm-hmm. It's like the actual impact and communication with the people who listen to it.
Yeah.
And someone say, like, oh, I felt that shit. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing to me.
That's what's up.
So that's why I love what I'm doing now.
That's pretty good, bro.
Yeah.
What's up? So do you feel like rapping has just, like, helped you in a way? Or not even just, like, is the reason why you keep on living, too?
Yeah, man. Like, mm-hmm. it's just, it gives me energy. Mm-hmm. Like, it even if I'm not in the studio, mm-hmm. every single day on my way home from work, every single day on my lunch break, mm-hmm. I turn on a beat on YouTube, just random beat and just get busy. Like, it's just part of who I am.
That's pretty dope.
Like, when I worked for him over the summer, man, it was slow as shit for some days. When it's slow, bro, I wrote the highs at his off at his store. Like, I wrote the chorus on the way, 15 minutes to a half hour in, the song's literally written, and I spent the rest of the day, like, rehearsing it and went to the studio that night.
Did I give him my
10%? Absolutely not. I made $100 on that song. You want $10? I'm just kidding.
I want whatever I can get from the
shit. So do you have any like current obstacles or struggles that you're dealing with right now as making music, or
as an artist?
Yeah, as an artist.
I feel like getting my shit a little bit more spread out's been a little bit difficult. I feel like a lot of that is on me because I'm really late, not lazy, but like I'm really bad with responding to people and communicating. Like, I'll reciprocate love, but I'm really lazy about it, and I get around to it late.
Yeah.
Like, somebody will immediately go like and share my shit, and I won't see it right away.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, days where I'm on my phone, and I, like, see it, and I'll post it immediately, and I'll be like, oh, I got you right back. And then I come off as, like, kind of flaky.
Yeah.
But I would say, honestly, it's just getting into this circle of artists where I can start building this fan base. That's really the struggle right now, is how can I continue to grow this fan base? What the fuck do I need to do to continue building this?
Like, I got you.
Because performing didn't do it. I feel like I put on a good show, but it's pay to play, man.
Yeah, true.
That doesn't grow you.
Oh yeah, well, I think we already said before, just like making own shows, start doing Trump's Pace, because like, yeah, stuff like that was good. But your music is definitely good though.
Appreciate you.
Definitely, yeah, of course, putting it out there more often. I always see rappers. Master on Rare, he puts on his old songs too. Like, hey, bro, go listen to fucking Honest. Go listen to Slide. Go listen to that shit. Like, he does that a lot. Appreciate he gets views.
Yeah.
Yeah. He put on his new album. Like, every week, he's always like, hey, did you guys listen to my new album, by the way?
Yeah. And see, that's what I'm trying to get into also. I've just never been that type of dude. Like, yeah. I feel like I know it's the hustle.
Yeah.
It's never like the ego. But for me, whenever I put it out there like that, I just feel like I'm oversaturating people.
I understand.
And I feel like it's if I do it too much, people are going to get to the point where they want to turn it off.
Yeah. Okay.
And so that's why I've like not done it as much. Now I'm starting to.
Okay. Because do you plan on more music videos? Because that would help too.
Honestly, no.
You should.
No.
You
honestly. Should, so the goal right now for me is I want to put it into other aspects. The next video I shoot, I want to have a bigger budget. I love the way these videos turned out. But I want to do the next video I do, I want to do a real one.
Yeah.
Like, I want there to be a full set. Like, I want people to be like actually on, like, I want it to feel like a real video shoot. You know what I mean? Like, we had fun with what we did.
Yeah.
And it was great for what it was. But I want to put the professional shit in there.
Yeah.
Like, I want to get it shot on a perfect video camera. And no offense to any other artists that are doing what I'm doing, because Jamie Cornelia did kill the editing and did a great job with the fucking project that she gave me. Like, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, she did great work with what I gave her. But I want somebody to come with me with, like, storyboards and shit. Yeah. And, like, a script.
Directors. And,
yeah, because I have not done enough of this, but I want to get into it.
Yeah.
So
I think that's perfectly okay.
Yeah.
Because I see a lot of people like, yo, let's do photography, let's do photos. I'm like, all right, well then, first thing, I was going to hit up like an actual photographer. You know, I was going to hit up like someone like who actually does this shit.
Not Fahad.
No, I mean, Fahad. We're going to do Fahad. But like, that dude earlier today, like, I didn't know he was part of like an AZ scene until I started talking to him. Cause I was like, first one I met him, I was like, oh, like, this dude's professional, be professional, cool. Then we started talking, like, oh, never mind, he's just a dude like me, we're just chilling. All right, cool, let's talk about, like, shit that we like talking about. I was like, yo, you ever been to Cobra? And that's how we got along. And then that's when, like, I met the other rapper who, like, he just DM'd me too, like, hey, bro, I heard you do the podcast, can we get on? I'm like, of course, dude, like, I'm down. So, stuff like that, where I'm like, shit, you know, like, let's do the professional shit, like, let's make this shit look good. Let's make it look all crazy, and then, not just post for the gram, but, like, just so like it feels like we're doing shit too.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, perception's reality, bro.
Too.
Yeah, I mean, like think and one of my good friends, Jeremy Givens, gave me this sage advice. He was like, if you spent $500 into photo shoots, he's like, I could give you photos and like enough content for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And he's like, we could do theme photo shoots based off your music, and I'm not going to give the whole marketing strategy away.
Yeah.
But like, you could spend less money and do photo shoots and have content for the year to promote shit.
And it was crazy too, like, I looked at the dude's followers, not that numbers matter, but like, I looked at his followers, like, it was like, yeah, like, about 1,500. He has a whole ass office and studio for himself, and he makes money. He looks pretty good. I was expecting like 10K or some shit like that, you know?
Yeah.
But not like he has like one, you know, 1,500.
I've started to realize that a lot of these dudes that have a lot of these follows
are
not fucking real followers.
Yeah.
Like, it's not real.
Yeah, it's not real.
I don't know where they're coming from.
Uh-huh.
Like, I mean, we know where they're coming from. There's bots and shit.
But, yeah.
But like, it's just, I don't want that. So like, I don't want to blow off some shit like that.
Exactly,
like that.
Yeah.
I work too hard on this shit. Like, I put too much of me into this to ever fake what we're actually doing. Like, if you perceive that, like, oh, Matt's always out here shooting and doing photo shoots because he's got all this content. Damn, he looks good all the time.
Yeah.
That's your opinion. Like, hey, yeah, we're out here shooting all the time.
Yeah.
We did a lot of shots.
Yeah.
You're right. I got a lot of content. But I'm not going to pay somebody to just create people to follow me.
Yeah.
Like, just so I perceive to be bigger than I am.
For sure. I wouldn't consider, or at least not yet, I wouldn't think of hiring a manager or an agent or something like that.
Hey.
Well, I mean,
for you, I mean, I don't know how big you're planning on getting in the modeling career, man. I mean, you see all these avenues, Mexican Harry Potter, Mexican Pamela Holmes. Like, you got so many avenues you can go into.
That photo shoot came out pretty fucking fire. The one, the chains and shit.
Yeah.
I look like some fucking cartel ass little fuck boy, bro. It was fun. And, like, the dude was like, yo, flexing chains, son. I was like, yeah, son. Like, I was doing that shit. But, like,
yeah, but it's all about perception, man.
Mm-hmm.
And like, the more you put content out, the more people get to, like, really feed off your vibe, kind of.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a big thing for me this year is content.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key this year is content. Three albums this year, lots of content.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
What kind of direction do you want your music to take?
From here?
Yeah.
Man, now it's time to have some fun.
Yeah?
Like, I was listening to a lot of my old shit. A lot of my old shit, like I said, was a lot of punchline stuff. But now I've discovered that I can kind of sing a little bit and I can play with my voice. What? Was that? What was that?
That was funny.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's hear you bust a note.
No, I can't do that.
Oh, okay.
I'll leave that to you.
I appreciate it. I'm not saying like...
See how it comes back full circle?
Yeah, it does. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm a singer.
I mean, that's what you made it sound like.
No, I'm not an R&B artist. I'm not Tory Lanez. But like... I can do something with my voice. Like, I can carry a melody. I can carry a pitch. Like, I can change a song up in a flow with it.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm learning how to use my voice now, I'm hoping that my music just develops into more of like a... I want to continue flowing with this vibe that I've started to build. Like, this kind of energetic, like, shit, it really sounds like he's getting into it. Like, kind of aggressive shit.
Yeah.
But always with a fun topic.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I don't know. I don't have a specific direction. I really hope it goes.
Yeah.
All I know is that like,
you're gonna let it go.
I'm just gonna keep writing about my experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's all I want to do.
For sure.
I just want to tell stories.
That's what's up. And so for the next album, what can we expect though?
Banging beats. Just like fire fucking beats. All right. Astro and Sauce are about to go nuts. Like Astro created this beat, so he hits me, he's like, so what kind of vibe you want? I'm like,
that's how you know that's a good producer. Like, what do you want,
bro? Yeah, like, and I don't like type beats. Like, when you look up like Kid Cudi type beat,
yeah,
like, I don't like type beats, but it helps a producer. Like, especially somebody who's like trying to figure your vibe out, who's only heard what, 7 songs from you. They don't know who you are that well. And I'm like, I want something like Pusha T with a little bit of melody in it.
Yeah.
Say less. Like, 3 days later, this dude sends me 5 snippets of 5 different types of beats. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
I've never had this happen. Mm-hmm. And I bought, I think, two or three off him. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, next album, expect fire-ass fucking beats, lots of punchlines, and just bars everywhere. And just vibes, man.
Yeah.
That's all. I want to be positive on this next one.
You want to be positive?
Yeah, like, sure. I'm still going to talk about, like,
serious shit.
Being a crybaby and a sad boy, but, like, at the same time, I'm like, yeah. I'm not that.
Yeah.
And
you just want to reflect on it.
Yeah, yeah. We're still going to, it's just all going to be about life, man.
Yeah.
That's what to expect.
That's what's up.
Whatever you expect that I'm doing in life, you probably have no fucking idea.
Yeah.
And every single album is just going to be a little different compartment of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you the same chapter of my life that I just finished writing. So,
are you still going to get the same artist to do the same album cover?
I don't know about... I don't know what the album cover is going to look like on this one. But the other thing you can expect is features on this album.
Okay.
Features.
That's what's up.
So,
Can I help him?
What do you want to do?
Whatever's
you want to sing on this album?
You want to be ad-libs?
Man, we just said we're not
singing. Oh, damn, we did. Now it's... Damn, I fucked the circle up. no, you can hop on the album, bro. But I got... We'll yeah, we got to talk numbers.
Facts.
We got to talk numbers. Got to talk money and shit.
Yeah. We know he's got a lot more than I got of it, so he's going to end up paying me to be on this shit. No, we got EK on this one.
That's what's up.
I hope it's okay to, like, release this information, but me and Snick Foley, do you know who that is? He's in Kush America's stream all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're dropping a joint album.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. It's going to be called Tag Team Champions of the World.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
So we're pretty much, like, D-Generation X. That's what we're going to go out with.
Nice.
Yeah, EK, I'm trying to get Mastodon Rare on a track.
That'd be dope. I can see it happen, too.
I got a couple homies from back home that I want to work with. That's about it right now. That's about it. You know, honestly, bro, I missed Grip's set. Mm-hmm. I still have only heard, like, one song from Grip.
Yo, I was surprised, bro.
Were you?
Yeah, bro, he went off. Grip, bro, you went off, son. Like, here's the thing. He doesn't have his music out. Like, bro, what the fuck?
Yeah, like...
Get your shit out, bro.
I didn't know this man made... Like, I saw a music video from him, and I'm like, is this him?
Uh-huh.
And like, I didn't know, and then I saw him post another video, and it's like... And then I hear him mention it every once in a while, like, in my own songs, and I'm like, what do you mean in your own songs? What the fuck songs are you making, bro? I've never heard any of this shit.
I swear to God, he's been on the podcast too.
Right.
I brought up his music. Yo, like, how long you been making music? You're a producer. You know, we talked about that. His music was good, of course. But then, like, his latest shit, though, holy fuck, bro. The first song he performed went off. He was like, I remember he put a snippet on his story, and I was like, bro, where the fuck was this shit at? Like, can you please put it on Spotify now? Please. And when he performed it, bro, he went off on the stage. I just can't get enough of it.
So, like, I didn't even know he rapped.
Yeah.
Like, I really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already, like, I had already planned the features that I wanted on this album. Because, like, I don't like to, it's fucked up to say. I like having artists on my tracks that know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And
you didn't know Grip.
I didn't know Grip at the time. But, like, I'd started planning this album already. And I didn't know he made music.
Yeah.
Like, I know he made beats. Mm-hmm. I knew he engineered. I didn't know he made his own music.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought he was the dude in the background, always cooking up and chopping up, like, master extraordinaire, connoisseur of all things music, and just always showing that fucking grill he's got.
Yeah,
you know, I didn't know this motherfucker rapped,
bro. Like I said, bro, he goes off. He goes off. And Grip, seriously, bro, if you do another Trunk Space, do another show, please let me know, bro, because I'm hyped for it. Want to know when that music comes out?
Yeah, like, that threw me off. I'm trying to reach out and branch out. Find other artists. Like, it's tough for me because, like, I'm very independent. Like, especially with my music, I don't like anybody else. Like, I don't work well with others. I feel like, for the most part, like, I want things a certain way.
Yeah.
And it's definitely different. Like, me and EK wrote together, like, in the same room, and, like, kind of battle-barred it.
Yeah.
Like, back and forth it, and it's just, like, that was so much fun.
Yeah.
And I'd never, that was my first real feature. So, yeah, expect features. That's the biggest difference. That's pretty dope. Features.
That's pretty dope, bro. All right, man. Well, I mean, I don't know. You want to keep going? I mean, I'm out of questions. We're all done.
No, I'm good, man. You're whatever good? You want to do.
That's it. Well, I think this is the wrap of the episode, bro. This has been a good-ass fucking episode. Appreciate you, bro, just coming in, giving your thoughts, just going off on every question. Just, I appreciate, like, all your input, man.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Not a problem, man. Like I said before, guys, links in the description below for his YouTube channel, his music videos, his Instagram, and his Spotify. Check out his music. Check out his album. I liked High No Games, October 14th. If you want to get a real insight of who he is,
I'm not gonna lie. It's one of the top five albums out of the state this year. I that's how I feel about it. And that, I mean, I'm supposed to feel that way, but I've heard some of the albums that have come out this year, and obviously Mastodon Rare had one of those too. That was one of the top five albums of the year. Didn't Brad Pete's come out last year too?
Brad Pete's came out last
year.
Yeah.
That was one of them too. That shit was fucking fire.
Yeah, it was fire.
I mean, yeah, go check that shit out. It's top five in the state for sure.
But everybody check out his music. Don't sleep on this man.
Don't sleep on this man either.
Don't sleep on no one.
This man's flexing on camera so hard right now. He's trying not to, but he doesn't fit in his shirt. Anything, bro. You're about to rip that fucking dope ass shirt, bro.
Alright, no, but anyway, you guys. Hope you have yourself a damn good one. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on anchor.fm/scrappy-flocko. You can subscribe for at least $1 a month. It can go up to 20, but that's up to you. I'm gonna let
just
you choose.
Put 100 in there. 100 a month.
Yeah, it's also on Spotify too. So
feed these starving children.
Please, I'm trying to move out, or at least I'm gonna get a new office soon. So if you guys want to support on that, that'd be cool. Anyways, also merch. Make sure you check out the merch. Link in the description below for that.
Hell yeah.
And yeah, I think that's it, everybody. Y'all have yourself a goddamn good one.